Our subject today is weakness. We tend to hide our weaknesses and do our best to avoid them, whether in conversation or day-to-day conduct. It's not enjoyable to talk about mistakes made or problems due to weakness. However, there are instances in the Bible where we are permitted to know the weakness of men and women. Some believe this lends to the credibility of God's Word. If man wrote the Bible, the weaknesses would have been ignored. But it also reminds us that we're sinners. Saved, but still sinners. And we live in a world filled with sinners. So, there will be problems. Paul and Barnabas discovered this the day John Mark quit. Acts chapter 13, in verse 13 says, "Now when Paul and his company, loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." Over in chapter 15 of the same book, the book of Acts, we read in verse 36, "And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them, that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by their brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." In today's lesson, there are several people we will consider. But the primary person is John Mark. The Bible tells us that he had two names, John and Mark. This was not uncommon during that time. John was his Hebrew name, and Mark was the name he went by when he visited the Gentiles. He was not an apostle, and apparently not even a disciple during Christ's ministry, maybe because of his young age. In Acts chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, we find some more information concerning Mark. This is right after Peter was released from prison by the angel of the Lord. It reads, "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." In that passage, we find that Mark's mother was Mary. They lived in a house in Jerusalem, which indicates they were well off and probably wealthy. So it appears Mark came from an influential family and grew up in a home where God was honored. Their home was the center of early church activities. It was a place of prayer where Peter went after being released from prison. And it's possible, more than likely, that Mark saw and heard Jesus Christ during the Lord's earthly ministry. In the book of Colossians, chapter 4 and verse 10, we find out that Barnabas was Mark's uncle. It reads, "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments. If he come unto you, receive him." Mark set out with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary trip. In Acts chapter 13, verse 5, we read of him alongside these men ministering. It says, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." Being a young man, Mark was probably excited and eager to be part of God's work. They made it safely to Cyprus, where after strong opposition, the Lord blessed their efforts. But things were about to change. And that leads us to the problem. Weakness. Let's consider Mark's departure. When the missionary team reached Perga, John Mark returned to Jerusalem. We're not given the reason for his departure, but it could have been due to a number of factors, such as fear. The missionaries had already encountered opposition, and it was likely this would continue. Perhaps weariness. It was difficult work, and there were many sacrifices involved. Maybe it was too difficult for Mark at this time in his life. It could have been due to homesickness. Mark was a young man, and he may have missed what was left behind. Or it might have been due to immaturity. Mark made a rash decision to go because it sounded good, and he quickly discovered it was not what he thought it would be. It may have been out of selfishness. Mark just might have wanted something else. Anything else except what he was doing. Whatever the case, it was enough for John Mark to announce his decision and go home. And that decision produced division. Not right away, but later. After Paul and Barnabas returned from their missionary trip, they reported to the churches and served the Lord where they were. After some time, Paul believed it would be good to visit the churches that had been established on their first missionary trip. So he talked to Barnabas about the idea. Sounded good to Barnabas, and he was ready to go. But he was also determined to take John Mark along with them. And on this, Paul disagreed. Evidently, Paul was concerned because John Mark had left before the first missionary journey was complete. It's possible Paul lost confidence in Mark and did not trust him to finish what he started. Now, it must be pointed out that Paul neither questioned John Mark's salvation nor his dedication to God, but he was concerned over his service in a specific area as a missionary traveling with him and Barnabas. The contention between Paul and Barnabas was sharp. Perhaps they had a heated discussion with some serious, if not harsh, words. Neither man was willing to budge, and they allowed their differences in this situation to divide them. It's interesting. The world's persecution could not pull these men apart. And the infiltration of false teachers into the church did not separate them. But they were divided by opinion and preference. It does not seem like they left as enemies, unwilling to talk or work things out. Because of the issue, they determined it was best to go different ways. It looks like they divided up the workload. One team went north, while the other headed south. Later, Paul even referred to Barnabas with great respect as a worker for God. A final thought on the problem is direction. John Mark's future seemed bleak. He had quit and returned home after setting out to serve the Lord. But God is a God of second chances, and the Lord was not finished with this young man. Mark would go on a mission trip with Barnabas, and he would eventually travel with Peter to Babylon. In the closing portion of the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 13, it reads, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son." From this verse, it appears Peter took Mark under his wing. Maybe because Peter could relate. He also failed, was forgiven, and given another chance. The verse also implies that Peter led Mark to the Lord. Mark was his spiritual son, and Peter probably taught him many of the ways of God. Later, Paul and Mark reconciled their differences. Where and when were not told, but Paul mentioned Mark with affection and believed Mark was profitable for the ministry. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, beginning in verse 9, Paul wrote to Timothy, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." God forgave Mark and blessed him. At this time, I would like to share with you some practical lessons from this passage. Why God would share this weakness with us. First, to counter pride. To counter our pride. Pride is deceptive. It's easy and tempting to say, "I shall never be overcome," or "I would never do that," or "I will never make that mistake." In this case, some might say, "I would never quit what I started," or "I would never be that stubborn," or "I'll never allow an opinion to separate me from my friends." Even if we don't say it, we may think it. And pride will slip into our heart before we even know it, causing us to believe we are above sin and mistakes. And that's why pride is dangerous. In Proverbs 11, verse 2, it says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame." Chapter 16 of Proverbs, verse 18, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." Proverbs 29, verse 23, "A man's pride shall bring him low." In the book of Psalms, chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things." And finally, Proverbs 15, verse 25, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud." I encourage you to remain humble. Remain humble and trust in the Lord. Their weaknesses remind us that all are in danger of making a mistake or falling into sin. Second, they comfort in our problems. We are comforted in our problems. Mistakes will be made. It's part of life. And the passage that we have read shows us the best men are still men and will at times be weak. Mark, Paul, and Barnabas were good men of God. All of them witnessed the Lord work in mighty ways on several occasions. Yet they struggled to serve God together. We have weaknesses, and we will make some mistakes. Maybe we'll say something we regret, or do something we realize was wrong due to being stubborn or selfish. Well, those mistakes can be forgiven. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." All is not lost because God forgives and is able to bless again. Moses had his doubts. Yet we find that he was used to lead Israel out of Egypt. David fell into great sin and was used to lead the nation again. Jonah ran fast and far the wrong way and was used to bring revival to wicked Nineveh. All three men in our passage, Mark, Paul, and Barnabas, continued to glorify God and serve Him after this incident. You may have made a mistake or mistakes, but God will forgive and bless. Don't ever quit or give up hope. Seek the Lord and walk with Him. Their weaknesses are known, so we might find comfort in our problems, knowing God will forgive and bless us as well. Third, we see their weakness, so we consider the power of God. Consider the power of God. God's plans cannot be overcome by the faults of men. God planned for the gospel to go to the Gentiles. This incident appeared to hinder those plans. The men, the missionaries, God called, disputed, and separated. But God is too great to be overcome. God brought new men into Paul's life, Silas and Timothy, and the gospel did reach the Gentiles, and many were saved. Also, God provides blessings out of our mistakes. Barnabas and Mark went south. They sailed to Cyprus, the homeland of Barnabas. And God now had two missionary teams. The Lord was able to take the problem and produce blessings, which reminds us that God fixes problems. Jesus Christ was sent to fix the problem of sin. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for you. Repent and believe on Jesus Christ and be saved. Your sins will be forgiven and you will be given a new life. The Lord is able to fix any problem. Maybe you have a problem that is just too big for you to deal with. Give it to God. Trust Him to work all things out. Wait on Him to bless. Their weaknesses are given, so we consider God's power and honor Him. In closing, weaknesses, such as the ones we find with Mark and even Paul and Barnabas, are recorded in the Bible so we may learn from them. They encourage us to go forward in faith, knowing God forgives and trusting Him to work all things out, as He did for Mark, Paul, and Barnabas the day John Mark quit.